O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. And keeping our germs away from each other, maybe more of my germs from you. Jason is on the phone. I think you're driving around, or actually you're parked. I should say safety first. You're parked somewhere in the Champaign area, I believe.
Yep.
And for our listeners, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And Jason, I wanted to have you in the studio because I was so excited. On Tuesday night, Uline, I don't know, it's that manufacturer of the cardboard boxes and all those packing materials. And I think they boast of having 30-some thousand plus different items. But three different gift boxes arrived as we're trying to put things together for our 20th birthday celebration, our big birthday bash extravaganza, I've been calling it. And so I have three different colored boxes, different dimensions, like 3x3x9 or 4x4x6, and they're red and white, different colors. And so I can't wait to have these getting filled with different merchandise or knickknacks or what you'd say novelty items or gift coupons to various businesses or restaurants, and then have them available at our event. But they're really kind of neat, and I'm weighing whether to put a Great News Radio sticker on it or get a business to help underwrite the cost for them, and then they get to put their name on it. But they arrived, and I can't wait to start seeing what God's going to include in this as we give it out to our listeners on April 7th of next year.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's like another piece has fallen into place and the arrangements are being made. On Monday's edition of Mark and Friends, Marianne Offenstein, our project manager, was in the studio, and we announced some of the business sponsors that are already getting on board, and I've contacted some people the last few days, and we'll just see how God raises up some of the funds to help this be just a real fun event for everyone. We have the ice cream being donated, sheet cakes and cupcakes being donated. Some other businesses are involved financially, and we can't wait just to see how it all comes together to God's glory as we talk about what God has done, what he is doing, and what we believe he'll do in the future through this radio ministry. And thank you for being a part of it. Hey, will this be our fourth year?
Yeah, I think fourth or right into the fifth almost.
You know how well I am at those anniversaries of giving you cupcakes and celebrating with you. So, yeah, it's an exciting month. I think it was at the end of, I think it was mid-October when you came on board and I initially interviewed you. I guess that was about 4 years ago. And
yeah, because next October, that'll be 5 years, because next year, July, will be my fifth year in Muhammad.
Okay, wow. Time sure
that
flies.
That 5-year anniversary, that should be more than a cupcake.
Yes, we will definitely work on that. So thank you for being available today on short notice, and me not quite. I need to be at 100% by this weekend when I'm speaking, but I kind of wanted to just lay low and keep bundled up and lots of fluids in me. And yesterday it was kind of fun. We had Mike Achera. He's an inventor. Has a lot of gifts like painting and visual arts and some of the things that you've dabbled with your creative capacities, and yet very bright and well-read. And he's going to be at Lincoln Square Mall this Saturday at 11 a.m. To share his Lux Blocks. And they're kind of, I think I made an announcement yesterday, they're like Legos on steroids. They move in motion and combined, and you can be really creative with them. So it was fun sharing him with our Great News Radio listeners yesterday. And then thank you, Jason, for the artwork and the ad that you recently created that we're going to have published in the December edition of Prime Life Times. And I just love the setting and the artwork and just how we'll introduce many people to the Christmas music that we begin broadcasting the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, November 27th, through the end of the year. But I think that ad will visually capture people's minds and hearts, and then hopefully they'll tune in and be blessed by our Christmas music. So that's all happening in just a few weeks. Christmas music beginning November 27th through the end of the year.
And you're waiting till the 27th? I was just in a retailer today, and they already had it going. Full blast.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, I am not ready yet.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but, you know, we'll be talking turkey really soon, and, you know, Thanksgiving holiday will be upon us, and kids will be out of school for another little break, and then into December, and it's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's coming quick. It's really coming quick.
Wow. Hey, how's the remodeling? I actually this past Sunday stayed home, didn't go to church, remained kind of in bed, lying low, drinking fluids. And is the completion of the children's section of your church all set now?
It is. The construction piece, the physical construction is done. They finished it at the end of the week, and now we are busy putting together all the pieces because we're launching a check-in procedure, new curriculum we're going to use. From one end to the other, it's different now. So right now we're just being intentional and putting all those pieces in place so that by December 1st, we are ready to formally launch and say this ministry is ready to go.
Hmm.
So it's just getting Sunday school teachers up to speed. And really, we're super excited because we're going to be using a curriculum called the Gospel Project. And it's a chronological curriculum. So the idea is that you start it, and 3 years later, you finish it. But at the end of 3 years, you go through the entire Bible, and it's age specific. So there's preschool, there's kids, there's students, there is adults. And the idea is that if we get a kid into our nursery, and I know a lot of nurseries and churches are centered around playing and coloring and that, but we really believe that if a kid can sit down and watch TV and understand what's happening on the TV, that they can understand what we're saying about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we feel that if we can start a kid in the nursery, say, who's 3 or 4 years old on this, that by the time they graduate to the next age group, they'll have heard the entire Bible once.
Mm.
So in that 3 years time, they'll have at least heard from Genesis to Revelation one time. And every week just hammering down the gospel. This is all about Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel with them at different points. So we're super excited about just the intentionality and having kids hear the Bible, having kids understand the Bible, and then having them, in a sense, celebrate the Bible. And so one of the things that I've been challenged by lately is, when was the day that you were saved? I mean, do you know that? Do people know that? Can they on a calendar say, I was saved on November 7th? And if that's the case, how do you celebrate that day? Because that day is up and above even more important than the day that you were born, the day that you were reborn in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, just recently I've been very convicted that in my family, we needed to celebrate. My kids need to see that we want to have cake and ice cream on the day that Jesus saved us. Because we want to know that that day is important. And that when God reveals himself to my son and my daughters, you know, when that time comes and they can understand that now becomes the day that they celebrate that too. And I think that we don't celebrate those things enough. I don't think that we don't make a big enough deal. Jesus saved me and now my life is different. But we kind of let that day, we filed that day away instead of saying that's an important day. That is, you know, we do the red letter Bible, right, Mark?
Isn't that
then a red letter day?
Yeah.
Because that's the day that Jesus changed our entire life. And then if we believe Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. That day isn't just important for me. That day's important for my entire household. Because that's the day that the entire trajectory of those people in that family and in that building became part of a bigger family, the family of God, but then also had the opportunity to join that family too.
You know, I'm thinking of somebody that's tuned in right now and they're saying, but Jason, you know, it happened at church camp. I can't remember the exact date. And, you know, me, for instance, I remember being at the campfire. It was up in Lake Geneva, Covenant Harbor. It was on a church, you know, youth weekend or youth week. But I can't remember, was I 10 or 11? But, you know, I'm thinking, hey, it was during the summertime. Mark, pick a date and just celebrate that as the date. And people will say,
right,
what are you celebrating today? Well, this is the date that I've designated as my, you know, born-again experience.
Sure.
And, yeah, because I'm thinking for some of our listeners, they maybe can't determine or discern when it was. Well, then just pick one out and then celebrate it henceforth.
Right. Well, you know, and I mean, some of my conviction was born out of the fact, Mark, that we celebrate Christmas, so we celebrate Christ coming, and we celebrate Easter, and we as Christians make a huge deal about that because that was when Jesus was resurrected and he went to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins.
Well, then equal to those days, isn't it the day that Jesus saved you? Isn't it the culmination of Jesus coming and his work on the cross is you?
Yeah.
That's the crescendo. That's the high note in that story. Some of us want to say the high note is the cross. No, the high note is the work of the cross, which is that he saves and he continues to save.
Yeah.
And that it continues to happen today, that it's not one kind of moment static in history, but salvation is continuous. It's the continuous work of Jesus Christ that's being done in the world. So every day that somebody gets saved, every day that somebody grows to know who Jesus Christ is, that's yet another. It's kind of like this song with all these continuous high notes. You know, that there's just these moments where you're like, gosh, I love this part. Oh, wait, I love this part. No, I love this part. You know, because it's the work of Christ. Mm. You know, it's what Jesus came to do. Mm. You know, I agree with you. I don't want to be a legalist and say it has, you know, you have to figure out what the date is. But I would say, you know, for some folks, do a little research if you're not sure, because most churches keep track of baptisms. Mm-hmm. And so most churches would go back and say, hey, you know, we baptized you on this day. I know at our church we keep track of those things because those are important moments in people's lives. But if you can't figure that out, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just pick a day and celebrate it. But the point is that should be, and I think it's biblical, celebrated in the sight of all people. Now, this is the day that Jesus Christ saved me.
Hey, getting back to your point of the importance of pouring into young people, yesterday when Micah Chura was talking about his inventions, and he talked about, I think it was Lloyd John Wright, who's the builder of the homes, the unique architect?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah. Well, him and this other guy that's really famous, he said it was during kindergarten that both of these look back at their lives and said that was a defining moment of learning or understanding or creativity that was launched or birthed in them. And so Mike said the importance of never underestimating what a child can accomplish or do or learn at those early ages. And that's kind of the same thing as pouring godly truth and principles and scripture into their hearts and minds. It will have an eternal impact.
Yeah, I watched one of those. I don't know if listeners will be aware or familiar with these TED Talks.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are is they're little 10 or 15 minute talks, and they're generally on ideas or communicating some sort of, sometimes it's an invention, sometimes it's idea, sometimes it's just a thought or maybe a pattern of living, but they're just these little, if you Google them, you'll come up with tons of them. Well, I listened to one today, and they were talking about, this guy asked a question of the crowd. He said, who in here is a master linguist? And only a couple people raised their hands. And he said, who in here is a creative genius? And only a few people raised their hands. And then he said, see, you guys have been fooled. You guys have forgotten. Because when you were young, you learned the hardest language there is to learn, which is English. And you did it with the least amount of facilities and resources because you were young. You couldn't even walk yet. You couldn't parse together mathematical propositions. You couldn't figure out distances. You couldn't even go to the bathroom on your own. You were still wearing diapers. And yet, you were learning and grasping and mastering one of the most difficult languages there is to master. And he said, so every single person in here is a linguistic master. It's just you've forgotten that because it's become mundane to you. And when I heard that, it just reemphasized to me that kids can learn more than we know, that they can grasp a hold of more than we can know. When we receive them at that age, they're able to learn things that later on in life we can't learn. I mean, if you or I were to go and try and learn a foreign language, we would struggle with that.
Right.
And yet they say that when you can teach kids foreign languages at a young age, they grasp a hold of them. And a lot of the stories of kids who know multiple languages are because at very young ages they were taught them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so why wouldn't we want to pour into kids? Not only that, but listen, if we say, well, you know, we'll wait for that till they're older, I'm just going to be honest with you. How unloving is that? How unloving is it that we wouldn't take every opportunity that we have to proclaim Jesus Christ to everybody, regardless of the age, regardless of their stature or social position? It's unloving to not take every opportunity to preach Christ and him crucified. Now, I don't mean that, you know, if you're at my house, I'm not like, kids, now sit down, and, you know, here's the cross, and here's the resurrection. but just preaching his goodness and his loving kindness and who he is and opening up the Bible and saying, you might not understand the Greek here, my son. You might not understand the Hebrew here, but you know what you do understand? That God is good, that God loves us, that God always has a plan, and he's moving through the Bible towards this great moment of victory at the cross and then later in Revelation. You do understand that when God's people are in sin, he corrects them. By the way, my son, don't I correct you when you sin and when you act counter to, you know, the goodness that we have in our home? And kids understand those. They understand those things.
Mm-hmm.
The very kind of basic premises in the Bible are things that kids understand. It's not hidden from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just think because it's too technical for us, maybe it's too technical for them.
Yeah. And statistically, I'm sure you've seen these through some of the church mailings, but isn't there some truth to the fact that if a child or a young person up to like the age 16 or so, if they don't accept Christ, it becomes like much, much harder for them to be warmed by the gospel message?
It sure does. And you know what? It's interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody recently about they had had an incident where their son was on a computer and pornography came across the computer. And I said, you know what? That happened in our family. I said, because, you know, it's a devious thing and they are out there searching for kids. And so we instituted in our house this program called Covenant Eyes, which is, goes on your computer and it gives you reports. It blocks websites. It's there to protect not only my kids, but it's there to protect me, too, because there is so much stuff out there. But when I was talking to the guy from Covenant Eyes, I called him and I wanted to get some background and understand what was happening. He made this really, it's absolutely wicked to even have to say this, but he said that the industries, the pornography industry and that, they have a term they use called the white whale. And the white whale is when they can hook a kid between 6 and 7 years old and 13 years old. They said if you get a kid in that age bracket, he'll be addicted to porn for life. And because it's such a formative age. And they're so impacted by visuals. They're so impacted by things that come onto their radar. Just like you said, if you can pour these things, if you can pour positive and good things into kids in that age, it's the same as what these devious and wicked industries are trying to do with kids. They know something that we're not thinking about. They know, you know, we're going, well, let's wait until he's a little older and maybe then we can teach him a little better and a little more. No, why don't we just teach him? It says in the Bible, train up a child. It doesn't say train up a young adult. It says train up a child. And a child in that culture was anybody who was of the age to understand. And understanding didn't mean that they could parse together difficult mathematical propositions or that. It doesn't even say that they could walk. But you know what? They can listen and they can see and they can hear. And my son, who is only 2 years old, Samuel, when he looks at me sometimes, he says, Papa, I love you. And he says that because he understands loving the Father and receiving love from the Father. If he understands that, that's the root of the gospel.
Yeah. And that's at 2 years of age.
Yeah. And so if you can begin to build upon that truth for somebody of that age, who knows, by the time they're five, they'll be madly in love with Jesus Christ. You know, it took me, Mark, until I was 30 years old to really understand who Jesus was and to really fall madly in love with him, so much so that I couldn't break up with him if I tried. I want that for my kids, not at 30. I want it for them as soon as they're ready, as soon as it's ready for that to happen, because I want them to be in love with Jesus twice as long as I've been.
And wouldn't you also say, even this year, maybe even this week, as opposed to last year, you're even more in love or more open to him working in you or more receptive to his grace or mercy or more passionate about finishing well just because of the experience of his great commitment and love toward you?
Oh, sure. I mean, every single day, and it's not that Jesus gets better. It's that I allow him to destroy inside of me all those things that keep me from submitting fully to him, all those things that keep me from loving him fully. And so every day, by him showing me how good he is and how wonderful he is and how steadfast he is and how long-suffering he is and merciful and also how he doesn't put up with my sin, mm-hmm. that I realize and I submit in even greater ways. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not that Jesus gets better. It's that as I see it, I go, gosh, how can I not love you more? And then, you know, I keep reading his love letter more and more and more, the Bible, and I keep realizing how much he loves me, and not just that he loves me in kind of a surface way, but that I really, and I'm just really starting to be able to do this, to feel like I can even get my hands around the cross and realize just the depth of the sacrifice of God at the cross, the brutality of the cross, what the cross ended up being for me. Like I said, I mean, that wasn't the end of the story. After the cross, now there were God going, okay, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. And you know what? And my faith and trust is in the fact that when he's doing that, at some point here in the future, he's pointing at my kids and going, and Samuel, and Jacob, and Molly, and Abigail. You know, and they become part of that great cloud of witness that is pulled by the cross, that's pulled towards the cross, through the cross, and then sent back out of the cross to do great work, to preach the gospel, to share the love of Jesus Christ. So, yeah.
And I will say, if somebody just tuned in, yes, Jason's in his car. He's in Champaign somewhere. I got a cold, or I got allergies or something, and we're keeping away from each other. And he had no idea where this topic would go or what I'd even ask him. And it just seemed like talking about children and pouring into them and reading our Bibles and passionately surrendering to the Lord is kind of on the order for all of us today, you think?
Yeah, and let me just be honest. That's what we're talking about, my kids. First of all, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about my kids. I'm always kind of an emotional person. So I'm sitting in my car here in this parking lot. Next to me, there's a guy in a truck, like a semi-truck, looking at me. I got a Bible in my hand. I'm on the phone, and I'm weeping. He probably thinks I've lost my mind.
Yeah.
And I have lost my mind for Jesus Christ.
He's going to do an intervention and, like, don't take your life, young man. The Lord loves you.
I hope he comes and knocks on the window, because then I'm going to have to tell him who Jesus is.
Yeah. Well, we got to go. SRN News won't wait. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the porch.